From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is called Free to Travel. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 12. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in His name, saith the Lord. A solace here for sick saints. They have grown faint, and they fear that they shall never rise from the bed of doubt and fear. But the great physician can both remove the disease and take away the weakness which has come of it. He will strengthen the feeble. This he will do in the best possible way, for it shall be in Jehovah. Our strength is far better in God than in self. In the Lord it causes fellowship. In ourselves it would create pride. In ourselves it would be sadly limited. But in God it knows no bound. When strength is given, the believer uses it. He walks up and down in the name of the Lord. What an enjoyment it is to walk abroad after illness, and what a delight to be strong in the Lord after a season of prostration. The Lord gives His people liberty to walk up and down, and inward leisure to exercise that liberty. He makes gentlemen of us. We are not slaves who know no rest and see no sights, but we are free to travel at our ease throughout Emmanuel's land. Come, my heart. Be thou no more sick and sorry. Jesus bids thee be strong and walk with God in holy contemplation. Obey His word of love.
Loving kindness as a flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us His precious blood. Who His love will not remember? Who can cease to sing His praise? He can never be forgotten throughout man's eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the flood gates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love.
Oh, how glorious is my Savior's love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how glorious.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Nature and Actions of Faith. The text is chapter 4, verses 17 through 22. Here the Apostle Paul again turns to Abraham as an example of the nature of justifying faith. The context speaks of Abraham's faith in God's promise of a son, in spite of his and Sarah's advanced ages. Verse 17 says, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." Here we see that the object of saving faith is God. Nothing but the power of God can bring a dead soul to life. Then Abraham believed that God could and would bring to reality that which did not yet exist, Isaac, the promised seed. Furthermore, in calling Abraham the father of many nations, Paul was proclaiming the truth that salvation is solely in Christ, the promised seed. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, The Nature and Actions of Faith.
I want to kneel this good and proper tonight. Away with the pseudo-gospel and the pseudo-evangelism that is calling sinners around the world to come and give something to Jesus. Man, you've nothing to give him but your sin, and your guilt, and your wickedness, and your evil deserts. You've nothing to give him but the condemnation of hell. Away with this evangelism that tells sinners that Jesus wants to take them and incorporate them into this great plan, because they have so much to give him. Not a thing have you to give him. Saving faith sees salvation not as a matter of divine help. God doesn't help me to be saved. God help us if that were the gospel. Salvation is not divine help to get us to heaven. Salvation is a divine miracle that raises us from the death of sin, that lifts us out of the condemnation and the guilt of sin, that creates us in life in Christ, that constitutes us righteous in Christ and ready for heaven. That's the miracle. Saving faith, realizing and recognizing the depths of human need, and feeling the depths of human inability, throws the soul entirely upon the omnipotent grace of a holy God. And it confesses that the success of that grace depends on its sovereign power that can call things that be not as though they are. Notice the word call. It's a very important word in the gospel. You see, faith believes that it's God's call that creates man as his believing people. It's God's call that constitutes them his righteous and justified people. When Paul uses this particular verb in the Greek New Testament, usually he is speaking of God's effective call. It's not just the general call of the gospel. This is the effectual call of grace. What is the effectual call? Let me show you this. We'll get here in due course in Romans, but chapter 8 we will read tonight. And verse 29. Whom he did foreknow. Notice it's whom he foreknew, not what he foreknew. The dogma that God's foreknowledge is a prescience or foresight of things that we would do apart from his divine and sovereign purpose is foreign to Scripture. I'm not going to expound this verse tonight. We'll wait until we get there in the will of God. But it's people whom God foreknew. Whom he did foreknow, if you want it, foreordain, predetermine, according to a sovereign counsel. That's not my explanation, that's the explanation of Acts 2, verse 23, for the meaning of the word. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now watch this carefully. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's interesting to read John Wesley's note on his New Testament notes on that passage of Scripture, where vainly, because his theology can't accept this, well, it can now, thank God, couldn't then. He's been taken to heaven, and it can now. But when he was on earth, he was bigoted and blinded in this area. Great man as he was, admirable in many ways, greatly used, but blinded and bigoted in this area. And his note here simply denies that there is this chain of grace, that there's this, if I could use the word, inevitable progression. The very people he foreknew are the very people that he predestinated, and they're the very people that he called, and they're the very people that he justified, and they're the very people that he glorified. Do you see this? Every single one of these called people is justified. Why? Why? That's what Paul is dealing with here in Romans chapter 4. because faith is focusing on the one whose calling is effectual. And when God calls us to Christ, oh, understand this, believer, when God calls us to Christ, we are as certain of heaven as if we were in it. Why? Because he speaks of things that are not. We are not yet in heaven, physically, or even in our souls. We're still here on earth. But his call deals with reality. Just as Isaac wasn't born when God called Abraham the father of the nations, the father of all believers, Isaac hadn't yet been born. But yet it was true. We haven't yet reached heaven, but such is the sovereign grace and power of the call of God. When God calls you into Christ, then everything else, even though yet they are not in existence, as far as we're concerned in our experience, they're certain. Heaven, being with Christ, eternal glorification, and sinless joy, all those things are not maybes for the believer in Christ. I want you to understand this. The God who raised Christ from the dead and put him in heaven at his own right hand has, by the very same word that raised him from the dead, given us believing faith. And he guarantees us to raise us and put us in heaven too. Our place in heaven by the executive call of God is as certain as Christ's place at his right hand. This is the object of our faith. We serve a great God. I want you to take that away with you tonight. We're trusting a great God, a glorious God, a mighty God, before whom death must fade away, before whom non-existence bursts into the existence of his decree and his command. We serve a great God. We're trusting a glorious God. Away with the notions of poor little God who wants to do so much and almighty man and terrible Satan won't let him. Away with this notion of a limited deity. Our trust is in the Lord. He raises the dead, and he calls that which is not as though it were. So the object of faith is the God of life-giving power, of the effectual call, and of omnipotent grace. My faith has found its resting place in this God. Now, verse 18. The content of justifying faith. What does it believe? Notice the... We will deal with the other parts of verse 18 in due course, but notice the last line, so shall thy seed be. Abraham believed what God revealed to him about his seed and about his being the father of many nations. Many people see this as a reference to the Jewish tribes. And that's all. Well, it includes the Jewish tribes, but that's a very small part of the promise, actually. Paul tells the Galatians, the scripture in this instance preached the gospel before unto Abraham. The Lord Jesus tells us in John chapter 8 that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. In other words, in some way, and I can't tell you in how much detail, though mind you, I have a sneaking suspicion it's a whole lot more than most commentators will admit. I can't tell you the detail because the Bible doesn't tell me. But Abraham saw, not just vaguely, that there would be someone who would be his seed, who would be the Messiah and the Savior and the Deliverer. He did see that. But he saw Christ's day. I can't tell you all that that entails. But I have to say that to me that speaks of some particularity, some detail. He saw the day of Jesus Christ. He saw something of what Christ would be. Something of what Christ would do. So the real content of Abraham's justifying faith was to believe what God revealed regarding the way of salvation in the person and through the work of Jesus Christ. That is always, always, always the central action of justifying faith. Abraham well understood that both he and his descendants could be saved only one way, and that would be through Jesus Christ. No other way. Abraham knew that. And we who trust Christ always must come to the same knowledge. What is the content of justifying faith? It's the gospel. It's God's way of saving sinners. The faith that justifies focuses upon Jesus Christ. I have said justifying faith is first God-centered. But I want you to see this. It therefore, and this is not additional, this is just narrowing the focus to get it more clear in our minds. It is therefore Christ-centered. You cannot have faith in God, a saving faith in God, without having faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's a very exclusive statement, but no more exclusive than the statements of the Lord Jesus himself, of Peter, of Paul. We live in a day when more than ever we are being inundated with syncretism, ecumenism taken to the nth degree, that there's a central core of truth in all religion. That there's only one God, and therefore it doesn't matter whether you call him Allah and worship him through his prophet Muhammad, or whether you call him Buddha or take Buddha as the way to him, or whether you follow the Confucian philosophy or the Taoist philosophy or any other religious or philosophical system. When you're looking for truth, there's only one God and there's only one truth. And however you term it, doesn't really matter as long as you're seeking him. Let me tell you, that is the doctrine of devils. There's no surer way to damn a soul than to make him believe that he can have faith in God while rejecting Jesus Christ. It can't be done. Abraham's saving faith, his justifying faith, believed what God revealed about the way of salvation in him who is preeminently Abraham's seed. Paul says that seed was Christ. Saving faith always recognizes there's one way, one mediator, one redeemer, one sacrifice. It's all in Christ. All in Christ. Do you realize tonight that to be without Christ is to be without God? And without hope. Here is the content of justifying faith. Believes in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.